The floor. So, under this agenda regarding prevention of threat or use of force, I heard many interesting views. It is not necessary to have a explicit article or treaty to reflect the basic principles regarding threat and use of force enshrined in UN Charter. And I also learned some concerns that to have a new treaty or articles would just put new risks that to deviate from or be inconsistent with the legal rules contained in the Charter. But I'm afraid it's not the case. So regarding these basic principles, no matter that's the refrain from threat of use of force or the self-defense articles in the Charter, I think there's no disagrees that we are still facing the challenges brought by the ambiguities of the key legal terms, just as mentioned by some of our colleagues just now. And I noticed that United States also agree that there's no the threat of use of force is not expressly stipulated in Lex Letta in the document CD/1998, paragraph 11. So we are facing, I think, a significant problem that is about interpretation of treaty. I mean, the principles in the Charter. Then, according to Article 31 of the VCLT, I mean, the Vienna Convention of the Law of Treaty, it provides for some references in context of the interpretation of treaty. So, in the third paragraph, allow me just to read it out. A, any subsequent agreement between the parties regarding the interpretation of the treaty or the application of its provisions. B, any subsequent practice in the application of the treaty which establishes agreement of the parties regarding its interpretation. So right now we are talking about the threat, the refrain from threat use of force or the excess of self-defense. So we're facing the two choices to have the further clarifications through subsequent agreement or subsequent practice. Which one do we prefer? So it just shows that it's valuable to talk about, to discuss this key term, to interpret these key legal terms just through the process of negotiating a new treaty or new articles. So I think that's the first point. And then I also noticed that some delegates mentioned that we should be cautious to talk about self-defense and should set strict conditions for the excess of self-defense in outer space. I fully agree with that. And I think it just shows that the significance to interpret these key legal terms through a new platform. I think a new treaty just provide for such a platform. And some other delegates also mentioned that, gave a very good example, said the kinetic, just use kinetic methods to destroy or damage to, cause damage to others, space object, it could be deemed as use of force. It just leads to a very, very interesting question that whether it would not be deemed as a use of force if just the damage was caused by non-kinetic methods. So all these key concerns in this room, I believe that it could be only be solved by interpretation of treaty or just talking about drafting a new treaty, rather than to clarify or to try to define what is irresponsible or responsible. Because these are serious, they are legal terms. They cannot be taken care through a responsible, irresponsible dichotomy. Thank you, Chair.
I thank the distinguished representative of China for his statement. Are there any more speakers that would like to intervene in this interactive debate on topic 5? Doesn't seem to be the case. Then we can move on to discuss topic 6, norms, rules, and principles relating to outer space objects or activities that should enjoy protection. The floor is now open to any delegation that wishes to intervene on this topic. I open the floor.